Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining Carrie Aller and Friends podcast. And today I have with me my big brother, Boris. What up, Boris?
How's it going, Carrie?
Good.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too. I'm so glad that you're on the show again. I love your wisdom and I love your wit and you're just funny. You don't try to be funny, but like sometimes you say things. It's like Nehemiah, your son. He's just like so funny.
So. No, I don't try to be funny. A lot of people say I'm dry sense of humor, but.
You do. It's funny, though. That's what makes it funny. But yeah, today, Boris is 6'3", and so my son, we walked in the church here, and my son stood beside him, and like, Abram's almost as tall as you, which was so crazy to me.
Yeah, that was crazy. Like, they came up to the front of the to the building, and I was like, what?
I know. It's so crazy.
That's crazy.
But, well, Boris, today we're going to kind of talk about, and we've kind of shared our hearts on this topic, yeah. But just about everything, I guess, with racism going on in our world right now and different things like that.
Yes.
And I would love to hear your heart a little bit on that.
Well, as I was telling Carrie earlier, my journey began 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And God's hands were up on me. I was going down a path that I shouldn't have been going. Mm-hmm. And it was a path of hatred.
Mm-hmm.
I learned what racism was, or I became aware of it. And then it was like my life flashed before my eyes. Many things that I assumed was something else,
mm-hmm.
I realized it was because of racism. And my parents shielded us from that. And so when I became aware of it, I became really angry. But
yeah.
God directed my steps. It says the steps of a good man are ordered.
That's right.
Not that I'm good in my own eyes, but God had chosen me
mm-hmm.
before the foundation of the world, and
mm-hmm.
he was guiding my footsteps. And so he took my anger, and then he started asking me questions like, so you're going to hate when I love.
Mm.
So you're going to do what they are doing. So you're going to be like what the world is giving you. So you're going to hate, and through a process, he kind of, I learned to answer that question. I learned to do what, understand what it meant to do that,
mm-hmm.
And meant to be a follower of Christ. We fast forward to today.
Yeah.
There's a lot of division, a lot of angst, but God has called me to a ministry of unity.
Yeah.
And how we go about that is like he's asked me to lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
And not shy away from the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of people right now, Boris, that are almost kind of at a standstill. They don't know what to do to help. They don't know what to do to make it better.
Yes.
But I love what you said a little bit ago. You said we lost sight of God being the leader. Like God
yes.
is the one. He is the yes. creator of the universe. Like we've lost sight of God really in our world. And that's why we're seeing what we're seeing.
We've been content of going to church.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. But what purpose does this church serve? It's the bride of Christ. We bring the message. We are the bride of Christ. We are the example of what the world should see.
Mm-hmm.
However, what we've done is we made church more the God rather than God himself.
Right.
And so there's a time where I was telling Carrie this. I feel like the next big move of God is a return to God as leader.
Yeah.
To return to God as the head of us all. And to answer more specifically your question, I know there are a lot of people who are standing around and they're wondering, what do I do? How do
right.
I... What do I do? And I've had people approach me and ask me, what do I do? How can I? And some people said, how can I make this right? There's only one being, one entity, one
That's right.
God that can do this. There's only
yeah.
one God that can fix this problem.
Yeah.
If you study, I don't remember a lot of scripture, but there are a few scriptures that God has given me. In
mm-hmm.
2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves
That's right.
and pray.
Yeah.
And I didn't quote the whole of it, but that scripture is a foundational scripture for me. And another one is Romans 12:2. It says, mm-hmm. be not conformed to the ways of this world, but mm-hmm. be transformed by the renewing of the mind, or of your mind.
That's right.
And so we have to renew our mind. The next big move of God is a return to God as leader, as the head. It says, it didn't say seek the church. It didn't say seek the world. It says seek the kingdom of God.
Right.
And his righteousness. Mm-hmm. Some people can translate that to mean his way of doing things.
Yeah.
And it says all of these things will be added.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we want the problem to be fixed, it's not us that's doing the fixing. It's God.
That's right.
Moving out of the way. It's us moving out of the way and saying, God, only you can do this.
That's right.
You have the power. You have the authority. And you have the justice.
Yeah.
To right everything that's going on within our community.
That's right.
And so, and I know I'm kind of rambling here, but the one thing that I want people to understand is, like, I thought about this question, mm-hmm. and the thing that God said to me, he was like, point them back to me.
Amen. That's good.
Point them back to me. So when you come to me, guess what you're going to get? I'm going to say, I love you, brother.
Yeah.
But you have to seek God for yourself,
right.
and he will give you the marching orders. I don't right. have the marching orders
right.
unless God gives me insight. But God will give you the marching orders for what it is he wants you to do
yeah.
in this time.
Yeah.
Seek, pray, read his word.
Mm-hmm.
He will. I guarantee you this, and I can say this without pause or delay. God has an answer for what it is he wants you to do in this world.
And I love what you said. We have to seek. We have to pray. We have to, like, put God first and have that time with him, because I think a lot of times we're paying so much attention to the things of this world that we forget yeah. to just spend that quality time with the Lord. And if more of us would put our eyes back on him, like you're saying,
yeah.
it would get rid of a lot of the craziness that's going on. I mean, it really yeah. would.
Here's the one thing that I also want to remind people. This is not a new concept, a return to God, a
right.
return or to God as leader. In Proverbs 3, and I think it's 5,
mm-hmm.
it says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding.
That's right.
In all your ways, acknowledge him. Mm-hmm. And he will make your pathway straight.
That's
or
right.
he will direct your path.
That's right.
With that in mind, understanding that when God comes in, I gave a sermon and I was like, because I didn't understand it. It said, pray without ceasing. And so when people would pray, I was like, how do you come up with that many words for praying? I mean, I had this concept of prayer
yeah.
that was influenced by what I grew up with. I grew
yeah.
up with a group of people that would, that when they prayed, they would use these great adjectives to describe the great and mighty God, the power, the master of the universe. And all. And I was like, I don't know if I can say all of that. I couldn't relate to understand.
Right.
Now I understand, but like, God is simple.
That's right.
If we approach him, if we are mindful of him.
That's right.
People think that you have to go into your prayer closet. Your prayer closet is wherever you are. If you're walking down the road, if you're driving down
That's
the road,
right.
Don't close your eyes because you still got to
Yeah.
say, God, take the wheel. No. but no, if you're driving down the road, wherever you are,
right.
God is there.
That's right.
You can be mindful of him, like, God, Where? What are you saying? What are you doing? I tell everybody, I was looking at the news sources, and I was like, man, I'm just tired of this. And then God
yeah.
said, I'm a great news source. He kind of like
That's right.
almost rated. I seek God
mm-hmm.
in the first part of the day,
mm-hmm.
and he gives me my marching orders for the day. That's why
right.
I tell people, this is a true relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now God is asking for us, he said, worship me in truth,
mm-hmm.
in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
God is there. He's speaking today. He's not a dead God. He's not a God of the past. He's the God of the now. And so when you speak to him, he will answer to what it is. You would have to say, well, I got to get my life together before God will hear me. No, God hears your prayers. He is guiding your footsteps. And so when people come to me and they ask me, what do I do? How do I respond? Your next thing is I have to push you back to God. If I don't push you back to God, then it's me.
That's right. That's good.
Then it's me telling you what my opinion is. And I do have opinions about this.
Sure.
But like, I was like, God, I don't want to, what do I tell people? God is the general, the master of the universe. As I said earlier, he's the great I am. He's all of these things. He has the answers. He has the power to fix it. And so what I ask, and I know this sounds like a little bit of a push off, but it's not a push off. God is speaking and will speak to you today.
That's right.
If you want to find out what God has for your life today, seek him.
That's right.
I push him back to you, and he will give you your marching orders. And you might say, like, what if it overlaps? It's not going to overlap. There is room for each of us. It says your gift will make room for you.
That's right.
And bring you before great.
That's right.
It says your gift will make room for you. Because God has gifted us all uniquely to do a specific task.
Amen, brother. Yeah, for sure. And it's all of us. It's everybody in this world. Like, God loves everyone. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die for one particular race, one particular gender, or anything. He died for all of us.
Yeah, he died for all of us.
That's right.
And if you believe in Christ, and here's something that I Carrie asked me, she said, she's like, what has God placed on your heart? What God hasn't? He's woken me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Right. It's like, let's deal with this.
Yep.
Let's talk about this. Oh, let's go through this. And he's done that. And he's been faithful to that.
Yes.
And in this time, he's raised me up. I was sharing with Carrie, and this is my worldwide debut. And the people that wrote, the guy that wrote the book actually won't get mad at me, but I read fictional books, but I found my name in a fictional book. It's a word that is not in the English lexicon, and it's called bondsmith. And like, when I read that, and I realized that God was not talking to me, and I kept hearing, unite them, unite them, unite them. God was not talking about specifically black people.
Yeah.
I thought that's what he was talking about. He was wanting me to get them united. But I found out in the meaning of the word bondsmith, it means unite all people.
Amen. Yeah.
And there's no race. Race is an illusion. And I know that's a soapbox that I have, and we don't have time to cover that. But race is an illusion.
Yeah.
We are all part of the human race. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to discuss the ins and outs of that, the science. And I'm just going to tell you that we are all human race. Race was used, and ultimately it was a device of the enemy to cause discord and division.
Yeah.
But it's an illusion. It's a lie. And racism is the institution that's built upon a lie.
And you know, like, I love that too, Boris. And I was telling Boris, like, the first time, I think for me, that I actually saw racism, because I've grown up in a family where we had all different, nationalities, really. I have Filipino, black, white, we're all just in there together. And so the first time that I actually witnessed it with my eyes is when we went to a church camp. And our youth group was predominantly African-American. And so going there, like, I just look at them like they're my kids. Like, they called me Mama Carrie and everything. Like, I just loved and adored them. And going to this church camp, which was predominantly white, I remember hearing my students say the things they said, which was like, we feel like everyone's looking at us. We feel like we're in a fishbowl and everyone's staring at us. And my heart broke, because I'm like, we're here to be together. We're the body of Christ. We're here to love the Lord and serve him and sing and have students like have an awakening on their lives to, you know, get away from the world and unplug a little bit. And it broke my heart. But I watched as Boris, my brother from another mother, like, he was their advocate. And you got to talk to someone that was high up in that camp, and you got to tell him, like, hey, we need to have more color on the stage. Like, we need to unite us. I mean, even then, before you even, like you said, you're a bondsmith, before you even were a bondsmith, I mean, you were doing that. Yeah. You were doing that back then. And it was such an amazing thing. And I think, yes, you're right. We need to first look at God and point yeah. people to God, because that's where the change happens, period. And then with that, like, I feel like there's a responsibility as Christians. Yeah. We need to unite in the church, too.
Yeah, and that's a part of it. Understand this. Unity is not uniformity.
Mm.
Everybody is not the same.
Yeah.
Every human on this planet is unique.
That's right.
And so just imagine a puzzle piece.
Mm-hmm.
You get a 500-piece puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Every piece in that puzzle is different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason that it's different. There are some parts that are taken out. There are some parts that are there. And it's designed to fit with another piece that has the...
That's
where,
right.
Where you're empty.
That's right.
The other piece fits into your emptiness.
That's right.
Ultimately, we come together. This is what unity is.
Mm-hmm.
Unity is coming together to form a one image.
Amen.
And so that's if right. we come into it, if you look at it from the standpoint of a puzzle, we're not all the same, and we shouldn't be all the same
mm-hmm.
because we couldn't form the image, and really the image is of Christ.
That's right.
We can't form the image if we're all the same. If
yeah.
everybody thought alike, if everybody sang, if everybody had the same talents, the
that's
same
right.
gifts, the same, if everybody were the same, we would not fit jointly together.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
It talks about this in the Bible when it says if everyone was a nose, where would be the hearing?
That's
or,
right.
Or everyone was the mouth, where would every, you know, where would be the...
Yeah.
The thing. And I know I'm misquoting that, but
no.
that's the scripture
yeah.
of what God is asking. We each develop individually
mm-hmm.
in our relationship with Christ so that we can benefit the
that's
whole
right.
of the body
that's
of
right.
Christ. That's the ultimate goal.
And I think that people, what happens with that too, Boris, I think, is people, they're given these gifts, but they almost like internalize it and make it about them when it should be using those gifts for God.
Yeah. God will develop the gift.
That's right.
Believe me, he will put you in position to where the gift will be manifest.
That's
now,
right.
Don't be like the wicked servant that took and buried his,
exactly.
his talent.
Yeah.
It says his money, but it was talking about his talent. Don't bury your gifts and think that because it's not you're not a pastor or you're not an evangelist. That's not necessarily the calling. Your segment, your part is just as important
Amen.
As anything. The old deacon at my other church used to tell me, he was like, just do your part.
That's good. And that's
just
so true.
Just do your part. Mm-hmm. And how do you do your part? You have to first see God to
Amen.
Figure out what your name is. And that goes back to Jacob. He says, I'm not letting go until you bless me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns around and he said, your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel. He
That's
told
right.
him who he was and what his purpose was. He thought he was Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
But when it talks about being not conformed to the ways of this world, it's saying... You might have been called something all of your life, but God has a name for you that directly impacts your purpose. And so, yes, it is a individual thing, but it's for the body of Christ. And
mm-hmm.
so when you develop that through your relationship with Christ, then you will understand what you need to be doing in this time and this place.
That's right. And you know what I love about what you just said, too, is when God describes himself, he says, I am the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, I'm the God of Israel, he says, I'm the God of Jacob.
Yes.
And that's not his good side. Israel's his good side, but yeah. God said, I'm still the God of Jacob.
Yeah.
And I actually heard Stephen Furtick talk about that. Like he said, you know, like, I mean, if you're God and you're perfect, then wouldn't you describe yourself as like everyone's good side? But like for those of you right now that are maybe thinking, well, how can God use me in my gifts because I'm not good or I've done this sin or whatever, God wants you to know that he can use you in your gifts. You just have to seek him first.
I wrote something.
Yeah.
I write a lot on Facebook. And I'm not into politics. I don't like politics, but I am into God.
That's right.
And so whenever I could be wherever, and then God will put something on my heart. And sometimes I'm like, God, you sure you want me to put this out there?
Yeah.
But, like, he would put stuff on my heart. And he gave me a scripture. This is 2 Corinthians 12:9. And it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for mm-hmm. my power is made perfect in weakness.
That's right.
That's what it's like that yielding, that humility that we have towards God.
Mm-hmm.
He makes it, like you said, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob,
mm-hmm.
and Jacob, the what we would consider the bad side. But no, he's the God of us all.
That's right.
His strength is made perfect in our weakness.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I wrote a poem. And what happens, I start writing. I journal, and so I start writing. And
yeah.
then it turns into whatever it is that God.
Yeah.
And God said this to me. He said, God pours out his spirit into broken vessels.
Amen.
And I said, what leaks out because of the brokenness is him.
Oh, that's
so
good.
And then I said, and then he said, it's the same thing, but he said, God pours his spirit out to overflowing because we are limited in our capacity.
Ooh,
but he,
give me chills.
But what overflows from
yeah.
that vessel,
that's right.
is God.
That's right.
So, like, if you're not broken, and this is a weird thing, if you're not broken, then you're not gonna leak God. You're not gonna profess God. But when you're broken, mm. God leaks out because we can't hold him. We
that's
can't contain
so good.
Him.
So, that is so good, Boris.
And so, like I said, it's like these little things. It's just all of a sudden I'll start writing, and then a poem will develop from it.
Yeah.
And so he does that. If you don't know who you are, then that creates an issue.
Yeah.
That creates an issue for people. You need people to acknowledge who you are.
Mm.
And I wrote this also. I said a thought. I don't need anyone to acknowledge that I matter, save God.
Mm.
I know that I matter to him, and that is enough.
That is so good. That really is.
If you know
yeah.
that God loves you, if you know that God is concerned for you, that he cares for you, that he is your champion, that mm-hmm. he is made strong because of your weakness, you have a confidence in knowing that, knowing who you are, God giving you your identity. People are searching for their identity, but we find our identity through Christ and our
That's
relationship
right.
with him.
And if only more people, if only they could see that your identity is in Christ, it's not in these broken pieces, or it's not in what you feel inadequate in or whatever, no. it's God. I think we would see a lot less dysfunction in our world, and it would obviously be a perfect world, but we don't live in a perfect world.
I want to say this. It says my people suffer for lack of vision, right?
Yeah.
Or they die for lack of vision.
Yes.
There's two different verses there, but the one says they
yeah.
suffer for lack of
in
knowledge.
In Habakkuk?
And, yeah. I think it's they suffer for lack of knowledge,
yeah.
and then they suffer for lack of vision,
mm-hmm.
which is a different scripture. But there was I was posting on Facebook, and there was a three-step program that God said that we must do. If we want to see change, there's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is we have to have a vision. You have to want to see where you're going.
That's right.
The second thing is commitment. And when I say commitment, Martin Luther King quoted this. He said, a man that has something that he is not willing to die for is not fit to live.
Hmm.
And some people's like, man, you're talking about that level of commitment. I was like, man, that's pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the seriousness of what God is expecting of us.
Right.
That's how serious it is. He wants a commitment. He wants your whole heart.
Yeah.
Not just you physically going through the motion. He wants your whole heart. So the level of commitment has to be there. Vision, commitment, and then work.
That's
the
right.
final step.
That's
work
right.
mean that you're going to get the vision from God. You have to be committed to that vision,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to put in the reps, because
That's
the
right.
reps, there are going to be times where it's not pleasant. You're going to wander in a desert, and you're going to go through the wasteland, if you will. There's a book, I think it's called Dream Giver,
mm-hmm.
By Wilkerson. I think he co-authored Chicken Soup of the Soul or something
okay.
like that, but it's called Dream Giver.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about that. It talks about everybody's going to go through what we call a downtime. It's going to seem like God is not there, but he is there. Mm-hmm. So your level of commitment has to be one to where I'm not going to turn back.
That's right.
I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to finish the race.
That's right.
And so that's the, and then you have to put in the work. The work is, you can't do it without work.
That's right. Like, I can't go to the gym and just walk in there and stand there and look around at everything and be like, okay, guys, I'm going to get fit. Look like Boris over here.
Yeah, like, it's like going into McDonald's. You're hungry and you're watching them make the burgers, right?
Yeah.
But you never partake of the
food. Yeah. Man, I'll just tell you what. Like, you're such a joy, and I just appreciate you and your wisdom that you share with everybody that you meet. Like, you just have a lot of wisdom, and I just appreciate your candidness, and I want to definitely have you on the show again, and so we'll do that soon. And Boris, how could people, like, maybe touch base with you or anything like that?
I'm a musician as well, so
yes.
I have on Facebook, I can be you can find me at Boris Scott Connolly.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Facebook, or you can hit me up at BC Jazz Ensemble. Another site that I do, so you can touch me there. I'm on Instagram, but I can't really remember what my Instagram is. I'm bad Boris. I'm not so much into that. But I am on Instagram. If you type in Boris Connolly, it'll probably give you a hit on that for my Instagram. I'm on Twitter.
Yeah.
But once again, I don't know what that handle is. I think it's, I want to say it's Yesu 7, Y-E-S-U 7. I think that's what it is. I need to look that up, but I am on Twitter as well. Or you can reach me at Boris@realchurch.tv,
and that's
my email address.
So. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Boris. God bless you, brother.